listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, presented to you by the Torg Corporation. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And your buddy, Mike the Ghoul here, going to come and talk some fun video game movies, maybe?
We're going to be discussing the Borderlands movie, a film that apparently, despite how trashy and awful it was, will not die. Because people keep talking about it. When you have a train wreck this bad, I'm not certain you can ever actually stop talking about it. So we're going to talk about it. We're just going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I went to see it with my wife. We knew it was going to be bad, and we don't tend to go to the theater very often anymore because COVID kind of broke us.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
It broke us, and we live 40 minutes away from a movie theater. So if we're going to see something at this point, it needs to be vaguely good.
I am sorry that you made the trip for this.
Well, okay, so to be clear, my wife and I bonded over the Borderlands game. She came to live with me when I was with my ex-wife, and she and I just played Borderlands constantly. So when I broke up with my ex-wife, we just kept playing Borderlands, and that was one of the things that we got together over, and then we played Borderlands 2 together. We had this awesome setup of two consoles with two TVs next to each other, so we effectively LAN-partied on Xbox Live. Borderlands and Borderlands 2. It was a great time. And then we'd have friends over.
Fun, yeah.
Have friends over because Borderlands 2, you could do actually four-player co-op on a single screen. Okay. But Borderlands 1, or one of them, could only do like two-player split screen. So when you have two TVs and two consoles, you could play four-player, and it was fantastic.
Max
your party and have a great time.
Absolutely.
So we did that, and then we actually had a Borderlands wedding, which was silly. Mostly just the cake and some claptraps, but it was cute.
That's cute.
For a little while, we were obsessed, and then Borderlands 3 came out, and we just kind of stopped caring.
I've heard this. I have never played these. I've never played any. I know nothing about the lore. I've never played them, so I was going into this completely blind.
Sure, sure. And really, all you need to know about Borderlands is it's a looter shooter where you shoot enemies and they drop gear, and it's like, at least from the first game, it's vaguely Mad Max-ish, but with some magic powers. Like,
right.
If you have that, then you know exactly what they cribbed from and what they were going for. That's it. It's Diablo, but in Mad Max with guns. Like, done.
Yeah. Done. It has a target audience.
Exactly. Yeah. I was the target audience, apparently. I thought it looked cool. I played it. Becky played with me. We were having a great time. We liked these, so we went in to see the movie. And, I mean, we knew from the reviews the movie would be trash. And as you just saw, the movie was trash.
It was a special kind of interesting. Like I said, I went into this blind. I never played the games, knew nothing about the lore, knew nothing about the characters. And I just wanted to, like, let me just have a fun time. This will probably end up being, like, one of them guilty pleasure bad movies that could, like, been, like, direct to Sci-Fi Channel or something. And, like, I'm watching it, and there's some decent scenes. Kevin Hart, kind of funny here and there. But, like, I mean, the only way I could describe the acting in this movie is they seem bored to me. They all seem like they didn't want to be there. It was so, like, just monotone. There was no emotion behind anything. I don't even know if they were trying to collect a paycheck. I don't know what they were doing. It was crazy to watch.
So the movie sat in development hell for years. The studio
9 years, I think.
Yeah, right? Movie could. It came out. It was supposed to be time for Borderlands 3. Borderlands 3 came out a long fucking time ago. But it was supposed to be timed for that, and so they were working on a script for a couple of years before then and couldn't get anything that the studio was happy with, because the studio, because of the success of Guardians of the Galaxy, had their heart set on taking this team of four characters from the original game, or six if you count all the rest and so forth, and turning them into the Guardians of the Galaxy. You can tell that's what they wanted from the movie. This, despite the fact that Borderlands is a hard R setting,
right,
that's very Mad Max. Like, how you combine that to Guardians of the Galaxy, obviously from watching the movie, doesn't work.
It's very strange. So many cutaways during the fight scenes. Like, I'm like, where's the blood? This dude just got shot in the face, got pulverized with a gun. Nothing. No blood, no nothing. Yep. It was so strange. It was like a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah, yeah. They shot it and filmed it for an R rating. And then they went back in and reshot it with extensive reshoots by a different director and toned it down to a PG-13 movie, and that didn't help. The bad script didn't help. The fact that if you know the continuity of the games, the continuity's different, which doesn't help. And, like, I'm not a purist, okay? there are times where I'm watching, so I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm going to divorce myself from the fact that, like, this is different from the books. This, I was one of those people that when the original actor for Dumbledore died, I'm sitting there going, recast Dumbledore into some other character. Like, split off a little bit, because the first two movies were so, Harry Potter movies were so slavish to the source material that it felt like they were being held back by the books. Now, they recast and kept the character Dumbledore, and then they brought in the most fantastic director, and the third movie was great, and we don't need to discuss that. But still, I'm not one of those people that's slavishly connected. But when you have the video game studio providing the plot to the games and all the art and overseeing with the production studio, you'd sit there going, even if they're not going to adapt either of the games, you'd think they'd at least adapt the world accurately.
I did a little bit of research after the fact, you know, to try to learn a little bit here. And to your point, and I'd love to hear the comparison here, like, these characters were nothing like they were in the game. Like, Lilith is not that old. Tanis is not some, like, nervous Nelly, like, hypochondriac, like, or something like that. Apparently, she's, like, insane and really cool. And Jamie Lee Curtis, I love her to death. She's amazing and everything. And, you know, she was fine in this movie, but I didn't understand her character. I didn't understand what she was about. They walk in and she's like, I wasn't expecting that from her. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting choice. And I didn't know the source material. So to hear a fan have to walk into this movie and see what they know of the world and what they made this world, it's almost borderline offensive to me when you think about it.
It's weird going in because, like, as you said, certain characters just aren't the way they are in the games versus the movie. Like, the original game, none of them are heroes at all. They're all just bounty hunters, effectively. They're just there greedy looking for treasure. So that lined up against how they're portrayed in the movie is a little weird. One of the worst offenses is Tiny Tina, who they completely changed her backstory. Like, they changed the backstory for Lilith as well. And I'm not as offended by that because, like, there's not a lot of backstory given to her character. She's just a siren, and then she's on a bus and suddenly treasure. But Tiny Tina, because she's a prominent side character in the second game, has this truly built-up, developed backstory. She was raised by two people on the planet. Her two parents were, like, tortured and killed by, I think, Hyperion Corporation for a slag-like experiment. Turned in by a bandit to be killed by them, and then she kind of, like, went crazy from that and became an explosives expert and was saved by Roland. About the only thing of that that they carry over into the movie is that she's saved by Roland, but they change everything about her backstory otherwise to the point where you're sitting there going, if you know Tiny Tina, she's not Tiny Tina, and they should have just written a different character. In most of these cases, they should have just written a different character.
She was kind of fun, I guess. You know, I like the bombs. I mean, bombs are cool. Explosions are fun. But even they felt fake in this. There was so much green screen going on from what I saw. And like, there was a fairly healthy budget for this movie. Right? $120 million?
Shocking. What is it? There's a sequence early on. They're being chased by the Crimson Lance with General Knox, who's, I think, demoted in this to Commander Knox, and a different gender. Which, the different gender part I didn't mind, but she's not Nox in the way that we know her from the games in general. Like, nothing we know about the Atlas Corporation is what it is in the games in general. But
Interesting.
Yeah, no, like, Atlas, as we learn it from the General Nox expansion of the first game, is run by, like, an infant child because weird corporate structure. And General Nox is so tired because he's basically this hired mercenary who's been working in the military for decades. And he just, over the course of his campaign, you get his, like, notes about, like, his letters to the Atlas Corporation, as he just gets more and more sick of dealing with a child who's writing him orders in crayon, and he just hates everything about his job to the point where he decides to blow himself and the entire planet up. Like, none of that is on the character Nox we see in the movie, and she just randomly dies at one point and no one gives a shit. Like,
what was that? Very unexpected. Yeah, There's no consequence in this movie whatsoever for any of the main characters. Nothing. Like, how they got out of the situations they were in, off-screening that is a choice, I guess.
Yeah, they off-screen so much. But what's on-screen doesn't look great. I was going to say that section with Nox, where they're on the flying machines, which, by the way, not in the video games, looked like beyond bad green screen. It was like like her sitting on a green horse in the middle of the void or whatever they call it, and like they didn't even paste her in very well. It was bad. It was
very confusing, distracting at times.
Yes.
You know? Like it took me back to like, you know, and I hate to harp on a show that was amazing at one, but it took me back to like Walking Dead in some of the later seasons. Like the CGI and the background effects, it just looked like it was really AV high school level kind of stuff. Like no one with any skill. And I'm very confused with a Hollywood budget movie with, you know, source material that they strayed from, that they couldn't even get some of this stuff right. That's important. You got to make it at least look good.
Yeah, they didn't make it look good. Again, they didn't adapt the characters. Like, I'm not going to harp on so much that the characters are too old. Although, say they wanted this, for instance, to be a prequel to the games. And we know in the games she's 22, Lilith. Then they should have... They should have an actress that's somewhere in the ballpark. Like, I like Kate Blanchett. I think she's a great actress.
Sure, sure.
There are certain characters I could see her playing in Borderlands that aren't Lilith. But especially for someone who's supposed to be starting out as a vault hunter in the games, like if you're going to change her to be something else, to be some other siren, just make her some other siren. She doesn't have to be Lilith in this game. Every game has a different cast of characters. They introduce new heroes every game. You could just make the movie a new cast of heroes and half of my bitching goes away.
It's so very interesting. Like, you know, and then thinking about it too, like there's a lot of time that passes then from when she's given away as a child to when she comes back. That's like upwards of almost 40 plus years.
Yeah.
I think, and I'm not trying to like, you know, shame Kate Blanchett's age. She's a fantastic actress, award winner. Amazing. But she even looked bored here at times. And you know, it was very strange. And like to know that that kind of time frame, it doesn't feel like it would track as much as it would in the game with you saying Lilith being in her 20s. That tracks a little bit more like to what I saw in this movie, that like the hurt and the pain would still be there from what happened with her mother. Like, I mean, 40 years go by, I think you would find a way to let that go.
Well, that's a problem with the casting and with the story they wrote for her and everything. Because again, none of that story is in the video games. She's literally just a siren who shows up to go hunt the vault. That's all the character development we get of anyone. Any character development we get for the four lead characters, two of which don't even show up in the movie, by the way. Mordecai and Brick aren't in the movie at all. They replaced them with other people, which, don't get me wrong, I like Krieg. Krieg is a fun psycho character. And
he was one of my favorites.
And I don't necessarily mind him being in the movie because he has no story in the movie and he has no story in the games. He just shows up. So, sure, it's fine. It's fine. I actually don't mind him being there. He was one of my favorites too. But it's this weird thing of, they invented all this backstory for this character who had none of it. And it's not good backstory. It's to make her Star-Lord.
Yeah, yeah. Give her that that thing, you know, that reason that the universe chose her or whatever it is, you know.
She can't just be cool. She has to be chosen and cool.
This definitely did have a lot of Guardians feel to it. They were trying to do that. Like, you know, they definitely got that at times, and it wasn't as good of a story, obviously, and certainly wasn't acted to the point of any kind of consistency that the other movies showed, for sure.
No, none at all. Yeah. No. That goes back to why did they do it this way? Now, I get that some of this comes from the fact that it was a 9-year development hell project, and when they actually started filming the movie, they were filming it during COVID, which is part of the reason why the budget is blimped out as well, because I think it costs like 50% more to film everything during COVID years because of how many protections they had to put in place.
Sure.
But like, the whole reason why Kate Blanchett and all the actors are in there is because they had nothing better to do during COVID. Jamie Lee Curtis and Kevin Hart and all, they were bored. They were bored before they went and made the movie. And this movie was there for them to do something. And then they were bored making the movie because the movie's a piece of shit. And you could tell they all knew it, but they had nothing better to do with their time. Afterwards, Kate Blanchett went off and made Tar and won an Academy Award. And you're sitting there going, you recovered from Borderlands just fine, girl.
it was interesting, too, because like Kevin Hart, he has this, like, you know, the shtick about him that in every movie where like he just has this energy and this emotion and like this funny about him. And maybe that wasn't the character they tried to write for him here, but there was very little funny dialogue from him. Very little like Kevin Hart is like almost like Kevin Hart in every movie. He's almost like this funny guy. He wasn't even that in this. It was really just bizarre.
Well, that's because they miscast him. They cast him for Roland, and Roland is the military stoic character in the video games.
Well, at least he kind of sort of got that across.
He tried. Yeah, he's not 6 foot tall and buff like he's supposed to be. He's 5 foot tall and kind of dumpy, and they made him into a soldier. And I'm not trying to shit on Kevin Hart. I actually, in my review of this movie, I said he was probably one of the most closer to accurate characters by degrees than everyone else in this stupid movie, except for Krieg. Yeah. Krieg's awesome. But yeah, like, there wasn't another black actor who's big and ripped they could have cast for this. Probably
Terry Crews comes to mind real quick.
You know, if they're not caring about age, Terry Crews is too old for Roland, but he at least looks the part.
Yeah. And Jack Black, I think, tried to, but even his humor, which you kind of expect from him, was kind of just falling flat in this movie for me. I didn't enjoy, like, you know, the humor that he brought in, like, Jumanji compared to this. It's the same kind of, like, Jack Black funny, almost, you know, Chris Farley-esque. But, like, it just wasn't there in this movie. And he was kind of trying, I think. But even he seemed bored.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the problem, is that Claptrap is supposed to be annoying. He's kind of an irritating character. But the way that the games handle it is by taking the piss out of him. But they never have a way of doing that in the movie. They just let him be irritating. And then he's the kooky, irritating Groot sidekick or Rocket Raccoon sidekick that doesn't really fit right. Like, I think they wanted Tiny Tina to be Rocket, and they wanted Krieg to be Groot because he doesn't talk except to grunt once in a while. So I'm not even sure who Claptrap fits in for the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's not anyone that makes sense.
It's I mean, maybe he's I don't know, he's Nova the mascot. Prime or something. I have he's no idea.
He's just there. He's there because he's in the games. It's like I don't know if you ever watched the Josie and the Pussycats movie.
Yeah, we did actually.
There's that one scene where the sister's making some sarcastic comment, and her brother's like, "Why are you even here?" She goes, "I'm here because I was in the comics." that's Claptrap's role here. He's here because he was in the games. No one wants him here. Like, literally, you could cut him out of the movie entirely, and nothing would be lost.
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. He was trying to be the comic relief. It was falling flat quite a bit. Very early on too, like maybe it's just like I've seen so many movies and all that, but like right early on, like right away when he was like, what did he say? Something to the effect of like, I just suddenly reactivated after 36 years of not being here, and I have no idea why. I'm like, oh, well, obviously it's something to do with you being here.
Yeah.
And you know, you foreshadowed that 80 minutes before you drop it, really just in a way that's like no reveal whatsoever.
Yeah.
So my only question was it, you know, did she make him as a child, like C-3PO, like R2-D2, kind of like, you
no,
know,
her mom did.
Or, stuff, yeah. or her mother.
Yeah.
And it was the mother.
It was the mother.
So I was like, oh, you know, seen that, done that. Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Saving you some time, fam.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I mean, the real spoiler is don't watch this movie. I think that's the key of it. But it is mind-boggling that they spent $150 million on this. The chutzpah to think that was going to be a success, and wow, was it not.
I mean, it's trying to ride the coattails of, you know, video game movie success. You know, Dungeons & Dragons was, like, okay, and there were some other good ones that came out that were just, like, kind of fine and okay, and this was just, like, it just wasn't a fun time. And a lot of times, like, it felt like it was written by AI almost, right? Like, you could almost finish the jokes before they started. Like, I knew what they were going to say almost before they said it, and that's, like, you can't have that in a big budget Hollywood movie. That is made for TV sci-fi kind of stuff, and that's what this was to me.
Well, and that key point that you said that I really have to agree with, there's no fun here. Like, I would have accepted many of the changes. Again, I'm not a purist. I don't necessarily care if things stick one-to-one with it. That we talked about, like, them making a new Matrix movie, and I think we are in agreement that if they change continuity some, I wouldn't really even mind. It might be better if they just started fresh at this point.
Why not?
Yeah, get rid of the crappy movies we didn't like and try again. Like, there's a certain point where you're like, okay, a reboot is fine as long as the reboot is done well. This was not done well by any standard, whether it was adapting or not adapting. Like, Randy Pitchford, who runs Gearbox, was like, it's its own thing in its own galaxy. I'm like, well, this galaxy sucks. Can we not ever visit it again, please?
Yeah, this is, we'll leave this one in a galaxy far, far away, this was, a long, long time ago.
This was the shitty timeline. Let's not go there. But, like, there are other ones. Like, Castlevania rebooted itself into the Lords of Shadows video game. And I hate those games. I think they're tired and tedious and grimdark and just not fun to play by any measure. But then Castlevania rebooted itself again into the anime, and even though it's way far afield from the continuity of the games, I don't mind. I don't mind that it's off base because it's having fun and it gives you some cool shit that goes on. Like, whether or not the storytelling in Castlevania is perfect, it's not always. Cool shit happens. It's that. Give me my cool shit. Where's my cool shit in Borderlands?
You gotta go every now and then. You gotta just, like, scratch that, like, you know, that itch inside of you. That little primal behind your ear kind of, like, you know, give you a feel-good moment. Something good to look at. Something funny to laugh at. And this just lacked it on every level for me. It just really did. I tried to have fun. I did. And I like bad movies. There are times my wife will come home and I'll be watching Sci-Fi Channel with, like, some bad, you know, wannabe horror movie with, like, Coolio in it or something. Like
Deep Blue Sea 3. Yeah.
I've watched the worst movies and had fun with them. And, like, this, I can't even picture this being, you know, one of them guilty pleasure movies I come back to in 10 years. Like, if I never see it again, I it's going to be forgotten in a month.
Too soon. Yeah. And that's... Okay, if we set aside the characters, if we set aside the plot, if we set aside the bad jokes, you know how it would have picked up this movie if they just had really over-the-top, colorful shooting?
Yeah.
Which is what the games are about. Big, dumb guns shooting big, colorful things, and then things die and explode and guts everywhere. If they just... done that, like, a big John Wick-y, like, crib from that movie instead. Crib from John Wick. Steal some good shooting with big, colorful guns. I would have been satisfied. It doesn't have to be this. It didn't need to be, most specifically, it didn't need to be a poor copy of Guardians of the Galaxies, like, 3 years after the superhero boom died.
Yeah, and like, there was, what was the character... I'm looking at the IMDb here, and, like, the names were forgetful. So if, I think it was Marcus. Was he the one who was driving? Okay, he was almost an interesting character to me. Like, like driving her into the town, playing the video. It reminded me of being on, like, the Disney Magical Express, like, going on vacation. Like, you've seen this video a million times. Cate Blanchett off the bat is bored as hell. Turn it off, please. He's like, nope, sorry, it's part of the tour. And I'm like, oh, I can use some more of this guy. Like, I don't mind him so much. And then he's just kind of gone.
For most of the movie.
And then he comes back and he distracts the
Crimson Lance.
Crimson Lance, thank you. It distracts them to kind of let them sneak out in the dumpster. I'm like, oh, he's doing something interesting. Okay, we're going to get more of this guy, and then we just never see him again.
Yep, no. He's not a side character in the games. You run across him regularly when you're in the town, or when you just deal with him at, like, specific places. Or you buy weapons and ammo from his vending machine, so you hear his voice. He's there, which also, they don't ever buy guns, they don't ever buy ammo, they don't even ever reload, honestly, which makes sense for... Lilith has the infinity gun. It has a little infinity symbol on it, and from the games, it doesn't ever use ammo, it just fires constantly. It doesn't always actually rotate its thing like it's supposed to in the movie. Like the games, the barrel rotates and it's constantly spinning. But half the time, if you're watching shots in the movie, it doesn't spin. Like, the prop broke while it was being stored. Yeah, like, they had it for the movie, and it sometimes spins, and then they took a year off, and then they went and reshot, and the thing didn't work anymore, and no one knew how to fix it, so they just were like, no one will notice.
I used the word offensive before. This was offensive, I think, to fans of the franchise, in a way. Like,
boring!
Apparently, like you said, the guns are a huge part of the game.
It's a looter shooter. You have to have guns.
I didn't even know that her gun had a name and was important. And
it's a Vladoff Infinity.
It's something I think they mentioned that once, and I was like, oh, okay, it's a special gun, I guess. But they never gave me any kind of, like, context of, like, what this is about. And if the game's about the guns and the violence and the looting, you missed on every level here.
You only hear about, like, one corporation, Atlas, and you don't know that they're a gun manufacturer. You don't hear about any of the other ones, Vladoff or Hyperion or Torg, and all of which, by the second game, had very specific kinds of guns they were making. Like, Torg make giant explosive weapons, and Hyperion are these cool technical guns that the more you use them, the more they lock down and aim better. None of that comes. Yeah, like instead of having more shake as you fire it, it actually narrows down and focuses. I love Hyperion guns. They're so much
interesting.
Fun. Yeah,
this sounds like a fun franchise. It is. Man. Maybe you should come play. Playing these games.
You should come play with me at some point. We'll play some Borderlands and have fun with that instead. But
yeah, I like that. I'll do it.
None of that comes across in like the movie. You don't get the cool elemental Malawan gun that looks bright and colorful when it fires. You don't even get colorful like elemental guns at all. Watching the movie, I bet you didn't know there were elemental guns.
No, I didn't. Like the most.
What the hell?
You got more. You got a lot of bombs. A lot of bombs and a lot of stuffed animals and
dumb pistols.
Yeah, and Kevin Hart had a gun that had like a red stock on it or something, some kind of machine gun that he always seemed to have. I guess looked important, but I didn't know what it was. Like I can watch Alien for 15 seconds and know I'm looking like at an M1 pulse rifle. I know what that is.
Like, yeah, like
and you give me context.
Story and context to the gun. Yeah. Yeah. Like there's that whole big sequence where they're running through the underground shooting all those bandits. And if that was in the actual game, as you're mowing the bandits down, they'd be dropping ammo and dropping health and dropping guns. And you'd just like run over and pick up a gun and throw it in your inventory and switch over to it and immediately start shooting them with the next gun. Like there was never a sequence of them finding something better and like just sliding and shifting and doing. And you could have had some really like action oriented, like gun foo going on with that, which that would be Borderlands. And that wasn't in this movie at all.
Like that chase scene in the underground too. Like that was like when I knew that like they were referencing the acid or the toxic waste or whatever, and then Kevin Hart's like shooting the walls and the pipes, getting it to like spray everywhere. I'm like, oh, there's no way they're gonna be able to run through this and not have some like really gory cool stuff going on. The way that thing was melting through metal and people just running through it like it wasn't even there. Like it was a garden hose through the lawn.
Yeah,
and none of these people were like melting or dying. I'm like, this green toxic goo just shredded metal and these guys are running through it like it doesn't even matter. And we're not seeing any kind of gore or whatever. Like Eli Roth, man, like you've done some movies that have been some pretty nasty stuff. And like, I'm disappointed that you even like put your name on this, honestly.
Well, that was the thing. They hired Eli Roth and then decided they want to make a PG-13 movie out of an R-rated franchise with him, which sure, he's done one family movie. He did The Clock or The House with the Clock in Its Walls or whatever the fuck it was called. I didn't watch it because it's Eli Roth and looks stupid. But you are correct. If you hire Eli Roth to adapt a mature video game series, expect there to be gore. Actually, encourage there to be gore.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I don't know. I mean, Hostel to this day still gives me the queasies, you know, when that movie comes up and I see that, I'm like, oh man, like I remember when I first saw that and the violence and the gore in that movie. And like, you gotta stay in your lane. You gotta know who you're dealing with when you're these producers and these companies. Like you can't hamstring these people and take them away from what they know and how they do things really well.
Yeah.
And you expect them to produce something that's going to be any kind of appreciated, because it just wasn't.
There's our next podcast, Movies You Can't Eat Spaghetti During.
Oh, God. That'd be fun. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Day of the Dead and Hostel are two of them. Oh,
man. God, meatballs, ew.
But no, yeah, like, from start to finish, I feel like COVID probably fucked up a certain amount of this. I'm sure the pre-production team was doing great in 2018, and then suddenly, oh, fuck, a global pandemic. What the hell are we supposed to do now? But, like, what you do is you put that in the can, and you wait 5 years and aim for Borderlands 4. But they were in a rock and a hard place. It was a losing proposition. Borderlands 3, for which this movie was originally supposed to come out for, tanked in comparison to the first two games. No one really likes it, and that partially comes from the pre-sequel not being as popular as the previous game, Borderlands 2, but it was basically a giant standalone expansion, and you just kind of accepted that. But Borderlands 3 was worse and didn't sell as well. And so fortunes were already slipping and fans were already turning. And so what do you do when you've already licensed this thing and you need to get it out the door? You can't just put it in the can for 5 years and hope that the next game is going to be popular, because you spent 20, 30, 40 million licensing the stupid thing.
So yeah, that's a good point.
You got to put out something. I think what you do is, instead of doing this, you see the global pandemic happen and you go, let's turn it into an anime. Let's recoup our $20 million and just be done with it.
This could have been a really sweet little four-part like mini series on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I would have been fine with that. I didn't spend money on this movie in the theater, but like I feel sorry for people that did.
Yeah, I did. And then I bought it on Blu-ray because I'm still a Borderlands fan and I keep
hoping. But you're a collector.
I am.
And you have your fandom. Behind there, that's
appreciated. You see right it might actually be right behind me. But you could have gone the War of the Rohirrim route, which I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, where you just make a theatrical anime and put it out. You could have done anything other than this, and I think it would have been at least more colorful, at the very fucking least.
Yeah, and it was just bad all around. We've said this a few times. I like bad movies, and this is one that I'm just not going to come back to. Like as once was enough. Again. I'm glad that I got a Starz free trial on my my Amazon Prime to watch it and didn't pay the $5.99 to rent it.
Thank you, Starz. You could pay for this, Starz. I don't have to.
I would expect better from. I would just expect better from across the board, like from the actors who seem bored, from the director who we've seen better ish from, to, the just disrespect for the IP to me after hearing what you said and hearing some other people's opinions on it. So do better, Hollywood, please.
Do better. Well, and then Lionsgate did the 1-2 punch and released the next awful movie of the year, The Crow.
Oh, disrespect at its finest. And I didn't even bother watching that because, no, you will never ruin the original for me. I don't want to see your crappy remake.
That is perfect. Oh, well. I think we are good at this point on Borderlands. That movie was trash.
Yeah, it was fun to talk to you about. It was fun to hear because I knew, like you said, you were a fan. So I was interested to hear your take on it and the differences that you could explain to me. And it really gave me an appreciation for what I miss. Maybe I should have played it more and played it at all.
We'll play later. It'll be fine. Yeah.
And just like I don't understand when you have a target audience, how you can stray so far from source material. People are going to notice.
Yeah, they really did.
You just are.
Yeah, they didn't think the fans would mind, or they just figured that the fans wouldn't be the part that would show up and other people looking for a superhero movie would show up instead. And what they had happened to happen is that no one showed up for it. Because everyone was like, this looks awful. Yeah. Oh, piss watch Gully, we've got piss in my mouth in the fucking trailer. That was...
Yeah, all the funny parts of the movie were in the trailer, if there were any. It was classic, we'll just blow our load and get people to try to get them in the theaters. And when people saw how bad it was, they just didn't show up to your point. So, thanks.
Oh, well. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G. Going back to my Malawan guns, I'm Mike Finkelstein.
And Mike the Ghoul over here going to go hang out with Krieg and, slay some whatever they were called. Yeah.
We will see you all next time.